Howdy gang, it's Friday the 11th of May and this is your EV News Daily. Well, good morning, good afternoon and good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. A very warm welcome from London in the UK. And here is today's news about electric cars and the future of transport. My name is Martin Lee and I go through every EV article online so you don't have to. And we'll start with an Elon tweet. And this time he was tweeting out an all-hands email that's been made to celebrate the last quarter of work done by Tesla. This isn't so much a video about the product, although it kind of is. It's more about the people in Tesla who are going to work every day and making these wonderful products that the buyers of Tesla cars like so much. It was for an all-hands meeting, by the sounds of it, where the whole company got together and watched this video. 2 minutes long, some amazing drone shots of things like wild horses at the Tesla factory in the middle of winter. Really beautifully, beautifully made. But the thing that broke the internet yesterday was a couple of things. Firstly, some more interior shots of the new Tesla Roadster, and that had only been seen at nighttime before, so a bit more detail on that. But the really big thing was a very short clip, 16 seconds into the video, of a car inside Tesla's design studio, and it was partially covered by a cloth. Some body panels were missing, and so the internet started to debate, is this the Model Y? Well, I think the short answer, if you think about it logically, no, they're not going to launch the Model Y, a car so crucial to the long-term future of Tesla, like this. I mean, Elon likes his Easter eggs, but it's too much even for that. Could it just be a prototype of a car which they never made? Yeah, maybe. Could it be a Model S in the design studio that's halfway through being redesigned? Well, yes, largely unchanged since 2012, apart from the front. When I see a Tesla Model S drive past me, and there's loads in London, by the way, nowhere near kind of California levels of Teslas, but where I work in London, I see a fair few of these. Still breathtakingly beautiful, still look modern, don't look 5 years old. So, yeah, the Model S has to be redesigned at some point, but is it that, or was it just a random car that was featured for a moment inside the design studio? Well, every millisecond of this video would have been agonized over. So it's there for a reason. We just can't work out what it is. I think I would go like 60% probably a Model S being redesigned. Probably. Looking at the dimensions of it. Not high enough to be an SUV, CUV kind of Model Y shape. But who knows? But that's what broke the internet yesterday. Well, we'll start with our first story today, and it's a lovely little story. The website Interesting Engineering have been doing some research, and they've been casting around the internet, and they found some wonderful quotes. The 17 best experts on electric vehicles, and they've found different things that they've said over the years and put them together. Things like this. James Dyson, who once said, "I believe that electrically powered vehicles would solve the vehicle pollution problem." Things like Ferrari CEO Sergio Marchionne, who says this, "If there is an electric supercar to be built, then Ferrari will be first." Someone should tell Rimac they're not first. Maurizio Reggiani is the Lamborghini head of R&D, and he once said, "I want to go one, two, or three laps without having to stop and recharge after every lap." Their first electric supercar, the first Lamborghini, is said to be pinning its hopes on supercapacitor technology. Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi CEO Carlos Ghosn is in this list of great quotes, and he said this, "The time is right for electric cars. In fact, the time is critical." Well, he should know. His group have sold 500,000 EVs last year alone. And finally, how could this man not make the list? "We will not stop until every car on the road is electric," once said Elon Musk. I've put a link to these 17 quotes in the podcast description for you to read all of them for yourself. Some of them kind of remind me of, you know, those motivational posters. I remember we had one in an old place that I worked in the 90s and early 2000s, and it was at the top of the stairs. So I saw this every day for 9 years, and it was something like perseverance or achievement, you know, in big letters, and always next to a really big image. But I'm pretty sure the image was some half-naked men and women playing beach volleyball. And I could never work out for the life of me what it had to do with perseverance or achievement or whatever the management phrase was. However, obviously, everybody who worked there had something aesthetically pleasing to look at in this picture. But still kind of weird, right? Okay, well, moving on. This wasn't meant to be a podcast about beach volleyball. Let's move on to Ford. And the famous transit van from Ford has been on trial in London for some time with a petrol-powered 1-litre engine working as a range extender to charge the batteries. And next, the trial moves to Valencia in Spain. Well, Ford has announced they're working with the regional and city governments of Valencia to assess the air effects and reduced air pollution of commercial vehicles becoming electrified with an all-electric range of 50 kilometres or 31 miles without the range extender needing to be used. Well, Ford, if you ask me, my opinion, Ford need to catch up. By their own admission, in some cases, they're a little bit behind with EVs. Indeed, I follow one Ford employee on Twitter, and I won't name him on here. He is, I would say, reasonably high up the command chain in Ford UK. That's all I'll say. And I often see him jumping into conversations on Twitter. And obviously the people that I follow and the things that I do on Twitter is nearly all about electric cars. And he often criticises EVs, will point out their weaknesses, will often... And it says in his bio what he does for Ford. And I'm always surprised that he's not more guarded and that he's fighting for the good cause combustion engines. But maybe his bosses at Ford don't know that's what he's using Twitter for. Or maybe they don't care. Maybe they agree with him. And all of this chat about EVs is a smokescreen from Ford. It's widely accepted that the move to electric vehicles will see some winners and some losers. And right now, there must be some people in Ford who are worrying that there are more progressive companies out there, at least with stuff on sale, and that they're a little bit outside the EV party. However, at the very top of the company, they do remain resolute in saying that they are electrifying. Stephen Armstrong is the president and CEO of Ford EMEA, and he said this, and I quote, "As no two cities are alike, it's vital that we look at the mobility issue from a variety of perspectives. Our research in Valencia will help us gain a meaningful understanding of the benefits that small and medium fleets running primarily on electric power can bring." End quotes. Good luck to Ford and catching up a little bit with range extended vans. Well, the rumours yesterday turned out to be true and correct, and California did indeed vote to include solar panels on all of their new homes being built. That's 100,000 customers every single year who will be buying a new house in California with solar panels ready to go. It comes into effect January 1, 2020. And the California Energy Commission voted unanimously to push it through after a 2-year study on the background of the policy. So it's very well thought out, and it's going to generate 200 megawatts of extra power every year for the grid. That's on top of the 858 megawatts of solar, which was added to existing homes in California in 2017 alone. Well, it could be just one of the reasons that Tesla stock jumped yesterday, as those who really fully understand what Tesla is all about, they know they're an energy company first and a car assembler second. They saw the long-term upside for Tesla, and that stock went up yesterday. The key for me on this is that it's going to be as normal to buy a house with solar as buying a house with a kitchen or a bathroom suite. It becomes normal, right? It's the thing that all houses come with. And whilst it's going to add to the cost of the home, this research saying around $8,000 to $12,000, homeowners will save money on their monthly bills. Of course, being California, we don't have this really in Northern Europe, but everywhere has HVAC systems. So you need your heating and ventilation and air conditioning. I would never dream of having aircon here. My parents have got aircon in their house because they could. They don't need it, really, in the UK. But the climate's too temperate here. But if you think about those hot communities, you need your aircon. Electricity bills are much higher, certainly in terms of kilowatt-hour usage and stuff. When I look at the different people that I follow online talking about what they're using per day, I mean, I get through like 6 kilowatt-hours of electricity at home because we don't have, in sort of from now till October, because we don't have air conditioning to run. That's pretty low, right, for a normal household. So home builders are going to be putting in bulk orders for solar panels, and that in turn will drive down the cost of solar panels. Well, moving on, and following fully charged riding in a Mercedes EQC, Other organisations who were probably under the same embargo, I imagine, have now revealed their own details of their experiences in the EQC, those like Autocar. And they point out that my observation that I made when I first saw the EQC spy videos, funnily enough, that it looked too conventional. The bonnet was too long. You can shorten that like the I-Pace, just have a crash structure and a little frunk in there, and then you have more cabin space. Well, that's obviously entirely on purpose, not like Mercedes forgot to do it, because it's built on the GLC C-Class chassis, say Autocar. So no custom platform like the Jaguar I-Pace. It means it looks very conventional, but there's a lot of space up front for a combustion engine, should you want to put one in, or you can swap it out and put the guts, if you like, for want of a nicer phrase, of an EV in the front. The same is going to be true, by the way, for the BMW iX3. That's built on your plain old X3 platform. Well, the Autocar article gets more details out of them, such as how the two motors are going to be working together. Mercedes' concept is the front motor will do the heavy lifting, and it operates on its own most of the time. When you need the performance, though, the rear motor will join in. Even though that's really clever, that still doesn't account for how you get 310 miles, 500 k's of range from a 70 kilowatt hour pack on a 2-ton SUV crossover style car. Not even close, right, to anything that's on sale at the moment, or even that's coming soon. So that's still a head scratcher. Well, the EQC will ride on the E-Class Estate's self-leveling suspension. And that's going to make it waft. Ooh, we like a good waft, don't we, in a car like that. Very soon, the Jag I-Pace is going to be fighting for buyers with that, the EQC, the Audi e-tron Quattro, the BMW iX3, and all of them going up against the bigger and more expensive Tesla Model X in that kind of segment. Well, talking of the I-Pace and Jaguar, Global Auto Parts giant Magna posted some record net income of $660 million for the first quarter of 2018. That's up 14% from a year ago in Q1, reports Autonews.com. Magna are the company making the I-Pace under contract rather than Jaguar themselves. In March, Automotive News Europe reported that Magna also will build two new sports cars jointly developed by BMW and Toyota, but Magna declined to comment. Well, moving to Japan, and Reuters report that Panasonic, the exclusive battery supplier for Tesla's mass market Model 3, is going to be forecasting a profit of 425 billion yen. That's 3.87 billion US dollars. That's up from a year ago. And in other news today, Panasonic and Tesla look like they're going to strengthen their battery relationship by working together on Tesla's first Chinese gigafactory. And a reminder that every future Tesla factory, as Elon said yesterday on the investor call, every new Tesla factory will, under one roof, have every step of the process. So cell production to final car assembly, no more splitting out between Fremont and Giga. Well, the EV Infrastructure Summit is something being organised by Clean Energy News' publisher Solar Media, to be held between the 3rd and the 4th of July this summer, at London's America Square Conference Centre. And it's set to bring together all the major stakeholders in how you charge EVs. Clean Energy News say that the event is the only EV-focused event in Europe that is specifically designed around those people who are making decisions for things like cities, local authorities, workplace owners, commercial car park owners, operators, all those areas which will be integral to infrastructure and furthering the transition to clean transport, they say. Well, a couple more stories before we go into the weekend. And how fast is really fast charging? No, I mean really fast charging. When it's 2 megawatts. Well, that's what ChargePoint unveiled as a solution to get a lot of juice into electric aircraft and really big trucks. Those kind of speeds mean you've got to have a super large battery to cope with them, and the kind of battery you'd see in a Tesla Semi, maybe. Well, ChargePoint said this. The ChargePoint engineering team focused on several key elements in developing the new design. To meet performance requirements, up to 4 BMS interfaces and 4 500 amp circuits are needed. Each delivery circuit will have a voltage range from 200 to 1000 volts. Wow. To facilitate autonomous data and vehicle performance payload offload. What? The provision for high-speed data transfer is also included along with charging. Well, it's designed to be used in heavy vehicle applications. The connector itself must be rugged and able to withstand the rigors of frequent use, while they're also being easy to insert and remove. End quote from ChargePoint, and a little picture that we've seen. It looks like a bit of a beast of a connector with a big old handle on it. So, if you're sticking it in trucks and aircraft, that kind of thing. Well, finally, we'll come back to Tesla, and I love a good promise from Elon Musk. You sometimes wonder, if you work at Tesla, and you go to work one day, and one of your mates says to you, have you seen what he's tweeted now? We've got to do this. And then you have to go and make it work. I'm sure it's not the way it works, but I kind of love to imagine that it's that kind of like, oh my God, what's he said now? The latest promise from Elon Musk is that the Model S and the Model X are going to get keyless entry, just like the Model 3. In a story by Fred over at Electric, some good news for those of us who prefer to use mobile apps to enter the car rather than a key fob. And that's good news unless two of you use the car like a husband and wife, and then the cars get a little bit confused between the phones, but they'll work that out. In a related note as well, I took a bit of heat yesterday from people on Twitter. I mean, I kind of looked at the kind of people they were, and it didn't give me too much cause for concern. But anyway, I was saying last night on Twitter that Tesla are the only car maker with a software dev team just on overdrive. They are smashing it right now. They're making cars better every single day. And some people taking me up on Twitter saying any proper car manufacturer would have the source code done before they sold you a car, or that I was saying things like the auto-dipping headlights. Oh yeah, my car's had that for years. Well, yeah, that may be true, but they could have sold the Model 3 months ago and got round to making it work because they got 450,000 orders to get through. Let's just start making the thing. And the other point is, no other car manufacturer is doing that. Things like this story about the mobile phone app to open your Model S and your Model X, that probably wasn't, well, no, it definitely wasn't, right, on the roadmap when they, in 2012, making the Model S. However, when you realize, as 5 years go by, that, yeah, everyone has got a smartphone now, even people who have resisted it, everyone's got a smartphone. You can, if you want to share your car, you can provide access to your car that way. You can use it for ride sharing and autonomous things in the future. Then they've got the team that goes, actually, you know what, I think we can make this work. And why would you criticize that? Unless you're purposefully talking down Tesla, I presume. Well, I would love to spread the word about electric cars. If you can, please do share this with somebody who might be interested. Hang on, press pause. Can we press rewind on this? I had one more thing to do today, and I took it as a screenshot on my phone, and now I can't find it. Moss Covello Massimo, who is on Twitter, was responding to a story in yesterday's podcast, and we're talking about green plates, and India has agreed to have green plates for EVs for things like charging bays, carpool lanes, congestion zones. It means that you can ticket and tow people in a charging bay with a combustion car, that kind of thing. And Moss on Twitter sent me a little note to say, we have green plates here in Ontario, Canada for our EVs. It enables us to travel solo in HOV lanes. What's an HOV lane? But regular cars still park in charging bays. There's no enforcement and no penalties for those ICE vehicles that do. Thank you so much for getting in touch, Moss, on Twitter. Well, I would love to spread the good word about electric cars. If you can, join me and share this with somebody who might be interested, and together we will spread that word. Listen to every previous podcast. They're all online, you know. They're online for free as well. iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, TuneIn, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio podcasts and the blog at evnewsdaily.com. If you subscribe, you get them first and free and automatically. And if you want to, just like Moss did, come and say hi on the socials, on Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter. Just search EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.